Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Book Drop Mic, brought to you by Ink Veins, your source for book publicity, promo, and press releases. This is Jason Wright, and this is our premiere episode. And look, when I decided to launch this new show, I knew that today's guest would have to be our first. And not just because I am somewhat familiar with her new book, but because I just love and adore her and her fabulous and funny and wacky family. I am so happy to welcome Jenny Oakes Baker to Book Drop Mic. Hey, Jenny.
Hey, Jason. It's always so fun to talk to you, but it's actually your book. I'm kind of along for the ride.
I don't know. Your name's on the cover as well.
Yeah, but it's really your book.
Well, we're gonna talk about that. And by the way, if you missed my interview with Jenny on Right Where You Are, which is a little bit longer form show, as many of you will recall, go back and find that. Just search Jason Wright, Jenny Oakes Baker on wherever you listen to your podcast and you'll find it. That was a great, great discussion that we had a couple of years ago. All right. So we are going to talk about the book, of course. But first, people listening might know, maybe not, that we've had a little bit of fun together with a Christmas show.
It's called Joy to the World, a Sacred Celebration. But it is all about becoming a better witness of Jesus Christ. So it's definitely like Witnesses of Christmas, which is actually the book title. So that's the same kind of script as the show.
So this started about 3 years ago. Jenny reached out and said, I want to do a Christmas show in the middle of a global pandemic. Will you write?
No one else is doing them. So it seemed like a really right. good idea.
Yeah, it was so easy to get venues. So easy.
I thought that was just the way it was. And I kind of, I'm kind of, now that I'm trying to book venues not in a global pandemic, it's actually really, 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 really difficult. Because especially at Christmas time, there's something called Nutcracker that seems to take all the venues, which is kind of awesome for them.
Yeah, it is great for them. But I do remember back then just how, what a unique experience that was. Even just telling people, hey, we're doing this show at Tuacon in St. George, and you know, Jenny and her family and dancers and choirs, and like, it's this beautiful, like, let's gather together again and talk about, you know, the real meaning of Christmas. And the show sort of came together in that sort of test, I guess, 3 years ago.
And then an outdoor venue. So we were
right.
just, everyone was safe. And
yeah, that's right.
For a while.
And then we went back the next year. So in 21, right. And had, again, just in St. George, but had a little different. The script was similar, but I showed up as a shepherd with some facial hair, which was fantastic. And the show was better, absolutely better, because, you know, you have learned so much.
You were wearing a shepherd skirt you got from That's your right. friend staying with. It was.
That's right. Shout out Trish Utley for the skirt that I wore to cover up my knobby knees. And then you called me in like January or February of 22 and said, okay, so what success we had the first couple of years in St. George, what if we went to maybe 10 cities? And I remember thinking, she's probably lost her mind. Jenny Oakes Baker's. We're going from one sort of a test experiment, kind of a petri dish thing in St. George to let's try this in 10 cities. And she did. And it was fantastic. And she really, I mean, she had help in all the key areas, but really this has been your baby in terms of producing it and booking venues and the finance and all that side of this. This is really a Jenny Oakes Baker joint in every sense. And we survived somehow. We survived 10 cities. And then Jenny called me in January or February or March. And what did you say to me, Jenny, this year?
I don't remember because I'm just, it's been such a long life, but I think I was like, I want to do 20.
Yeah. Let's go from 10 to 20. And I just instantly remember thinking, all right, so 5 years from now at the rate of growth, we're doing 1200 shows between Thanksgiving and Christmas. But somehow you have pulled this, or it's yet a work in progress in some cities.
I'm trying to pull
this together. What has this been like?
Goodness, it's been the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Like, honestly, I don't think I've ever broken down in tears so many times sitting at my computer as I have the last few months, because I thought that this year, I mean, it was really hard to figure out how to do a tour for 10 cities. Like, it was really hard, but I did it. And I was like, well, this year I know what I'm doing. Like, I can, this is not new. Like, I can just do the same thing, but just do two of the same at the same time, like double it, no big deal. And oh my goodness, it's so much harder. I swear it's 10 times harder than just two times harder. And I know how to work hard and I'll pull it off. And I know that God is helping me, but he's also like, Heavenly Father likes to teach you lessons as he helps you. And sometimes those lessons are not super fun, but they're worthwhile. And I'm grateful for them when I'm done with them. But when I'm in the middle of them, I'm not as grateful and I'm working on it. But it has been the hardest thing I've ever tried to pull off. And I'm still, every day I pray for specific miracles that I need to come through. And very often those miracles come. And so it's kept me humble. It's keeping me working hard. It's keeping me, my Kleenex box is right by my computer. but it keeps you humble, and doing hard things is what I feel like sanctifies me and helps me become more of the person that God would have me be. So I know how to work hard. I know how to rely on the Lord. And this has been a really good test of that.
Well, and I always, when my family and I, we, in fact, just yesterday, we had kind of a conversation about how the calendar was starting to look and travel and all that for the tour. And we were talking about just the sheer amount of work that goes in long before we ever arrive at the first venue on, what is it, Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving.
November 24th.
Yeah. And it's, folks, it's, we're not talking days and weeks. We're literally talking months and months of work.
I started this tour on December 26th last year.
Yeah.
Like, I took Christmas off. We finished like,
you've just gotten home, so I'm glad you did.
we finished the day before Christmas Eve, I believe. So we flew home on Christmas Eve, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And our family actually performed at a place called Missionary Training Center that day, which was, we were not really great. I mean, I love to be at the Missionary Training Center. The spirit's so strong there. I love it. But it was hard for me to be in a good mood because I was so tired. Anyway, but like being there, you become in a good mood, but like, it was harder to get in a good mood because we were so thrashed and tired. Thrashed as in gone through extraordinarily amount of.
Right. No, that was, and I posted and wrote a little bit about some of the miracles and the exhaustion and the things that came together to make last year really special and memorable. So you take all of this work for months and months and months and you saying this is the hardest thing I've ever done, which I absolutely believe. And then that's what my family was talking about yesterday. Oh yeah. Now you have to stand on stage and actually do the thing that you have been studying and practicing to do since you were a toddler. And that's, you know, play your instrument.
Once we hit November 24, that's my vacation. Like it, I will bring it every single night because I know how to do that, but that's the easy part. But I will bring it. My kids will bring it. And Jason always brings it. Alex will bring it. Like the dancers, we have 60 different performing groups on this tour. And that actually is one of the hardest things to actually find the performing groups that are willing to do it at Christmas time, which is a busy time. But we have an Irish dancer at every stop group and lyrical dancers at every stop and a choir at every stop and a bagpiper, but we're using the same two bagpipers on the whole tour. So that makes it a little easier than last year. But we have a percussionist, Jay Nygaard, who's wonderful. And anyway, so we just so many people, and I'm still trying to get their tour travel every day. It's been on my like to-do list. And my husband, I'm like, Matt, we've got to do it today. Like we have to finalize these flights. So that's today. In addition, anyway, you don't want to hear all the nitty gritty, but it is.
There's so much. I think people enjoy, I actually think it's really helpful for people that are debating, do I have the, you know, the 90 minutes or 2 hours to come to the show, you know, the 20, 30, 40, 50 bucks, whatever it is, given the venue and the seat choice to buy a ticket. You really do, because you're not just coming to experience something really special on stage for an hour and a half or 2 hours. You're coming to experience the culmination of months and months and months of work and prayer and sweat and spiritual energy that goes into it. And so we'll link, of course, to all the cities and tickets and all that stuff in the show notes. But tell us, is there anything super interesting that's new about this year that's worth people? Maybe they came last year and they're trying to decide if they want to come again.
Well, before we go into that, the most, I mean, honestly, I don't care if people who are the show understand how much work went into it. Like I want them to be there to just have a really great spiritual experience, to come, like become closer to Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. to feel unified with their family and friends, whoever they're with, or, and to just be, have the Spirit speak to their hearts and help them feel the true meaning of Christmas, and to just become, you know, a better witness of Jesus Christ. Like that, I honestly don't need them to know how much work went into it, but I do want them to feel the Spirit and to know of God's love for each of them. So that's why Heavenly Father has blessed me to be able to pull this off. And that's why he blessed you to write such a powerful and impactful, beautiful script and deliver it with such authenticity. And, but there's also, of course, entertainment and entertaining moments. It's not just like attending a religious service, but so it's got the Irish dancers and lots of energy and beautiful lighting and gorgeous videos and of Jesus Christ. And anyway, so it's a really special show. As far as the new things this year, I hired a lyrical choreographer in our Idaho Falls show. I loved the choreography so much because all of their movements, when the choir was singing Glory to God and we're playing these glorious Christmas carols, their hands were all reaching up to heaven in such a beautiful way. And I just loved the choreography in Idaho Falls. So I reached out to Janelle Fulmer and I said, will you choreograph the whole show for next year? So all my lyrical dancers will have this. And it's actually, there's a name for it. There's like liturgical dance. There's a kind of dance that is more kind of religious and sacred. And so the lyrical dancers are doing this liturgical dance. So that's new this year. And I hired a creative director, Scott Eckern, and he's gone through the whole script and just kind of tweaked things. We made it an hour and a half instead of 2 hours with no intermission, just to tighten it up and make it even more spiritually and artistically and creatively impactful. And you just changed a little bit of the script here and there. We're changing some of the projections. I think the Irish dancing, we've made some tweaks with the different Irish dancers. There are always so different Irish dancing groups, different choirs. Anyway, so those are some of the changes. And I think it'll be a little more, we've got a congregational singing on Silent Night that I think will be really beautiful and powerful. So it'll be pretty different. And I think just even more impactful and beautifully satisfying.
You know, it's interesting because generally you think, well, if you've taken away from something, then you've diminished its value. Like it's now smaller. But I actually think, and this is true with, you know, with writing and editing and everything else. Actually, in this case, absolutely the reverse is true. By taking a little bit away from the show in terms of the length and tightening up, like there's a little bit of change to the song, even just the song order. And it's not significantly shorter, but it is tighter enough that I actually think it's better. Like I can't wait to get on stage and to see how, because we're just seeing scripts at this point, but to see how it plays out. Because I think by taking the intermission away, by reordering the music a little bit, I think we pulled out a number, one or two numbers, right?
At least, I think maybe just one, honestly. I think it's just one song left. I don't remember. The creative part is next week for me. My creative director's been working on it all year, but like for me, focusing in on that is next week.
It's going to be great. I just think it's actually going to be an even better, more powerful show by being a little bit shorter. And it's the holidays. People are going to get in and out a little bit faster. And
I love it. I love a show with no intermission. I get bored easy. So I just, not on stage, but as like a viewer, I just want the most impactful. Like my food is really spicy I'm just like a big, bold person. And so I love a show that like every moment is impactful. So right. I think that's what we're going to deliver.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to come a little early and to say hello, Jenny has dreamt up a VIP reception opportunity.
Oh, goodness. I hope people come. This is just like my experiment of, we'll just do that. Because I heard shows, they do these like IP little receptions. I'm like, we should do that. My husband's like, you should try it in a few places. And I was like, okay, we'll just do 20. But actually, we're not doing it in Calgary because Calgary, I couldn't find a big enough concert hall that was available. Nutcracker, thank you. And so we're doing two shows in Calgary, which means we just like the day has no room for a VIP reception. We're also not doing one at Oakland because it's a Temple Hill and they won't allow it. But every other venue, we'll be doing a VIP reception where you can come. We're going to give actually the new book that we're talking about today signed, will be given to everyone that attends, and we'll have some little refreshments, a little photo wall, and making the banner for the little photo area. Makes it look like it's like a Hollywood, you know, premiere.
Yeah. And you don't have to stand in line at the end of the show and deal with all that. You can
just be you by yourself with us. So we'll just have a little,
in some venues. That's right. And it's a little bit
my popularity with these receptions. So we'll see if it could just be you and us.
And what a bargain that would be. So again, all the links for all that good stuff in the show notes, but we do hope that we see you, at the show somewhere this year. If you look at the cities and you're like, oh, you're not coming to DC, you're not coming to Alabama, you're not coming to wherever, hold out your hope for 2024, because I'm certain that we will be in 40 plus cities.
We actually, next year is difficult because I think it'll just be 10.
Oh yeah. But East Coast. Sarah,
it's Sarah's fault. My cellist, like her school, she got accepted to her school. It was in Scotland and they're like, we're so excited to have you here. And we're like, so she actually needs to miss 3 weeks of school during her first year of college. You don't mind, right? And they're like, actually we do mind. And I'm like, but it's kind of already done. I didn't know she was going to go to your school and miss 3 weeks. And they're like, well, this year, yes, but next year, no. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try to figure out 10 cities next year, but they'll be really good ones. So just come this year. And then
come this year. And then if you are in one of those cities, maybe that you were in last year that we're not coming to this year, I know that's been the discussion, is to try to get maybe to DC again, or even New York or Florida or something like that.
Atlanta probably, but if not, just fly to Chicago or St. Louis. That's close.
Yeah.
Come see us. Come to the reception.
There might
be you and me.
If someone's listening right now who says, all right, well, I'm familiar now with the show, I'm familiar with Jason and his books, but they're maybe not as familiar with America's Violinist, Jenny Oakes Baker. What's the short bio version of you and who you are and why you're doing what you do?
Well, why I'm doing what I do is because the Spirit has told me to do it. And I try to be obedient because I love blessings. I love the blessings. I'll do anything to get a blessing. But so I started playing violin when I was 4 and immediately showed that I kind of had a talent that God had given me. And my mom recognized that. And so she was extremely supportive. And my dad as well. My mom practiced me till I was 12, I think. And my dad was willing to pay for those lessons as well. So he was supportive as well. But I ended up just showing a musical gift from God. And so my parents supported that. And I practiced really hard. And they instilled in me that I had a responsibility to develop my talent and be worthy and ready to use that talent to build the kingdom. And I just always knew that God had something for me to do. And I had to keep the commandments and be worthy. And I had to work really hard and just listen to the Spirit to try to figure out what it was. And I just always knew there was something I was supposed to do with my talent. I just knew. And then I got into the Curtis Institute of Music. I went there for my bachelor's, which Curtis is a really special place. It's probably the best music school in the world. So I was really blessed to get in. And then I got into Juilliard and got my master's from Juilliard School in New York City. Met my husband in New York. We got married. We moved to DC for his job. I got into the National Symphony. I played in the National Symphony. as I was having children. I had four children. By the time I'd had our fourth child in the symphony, I felt like that wasn't what God wanted me to do. He wanted me to be home with more kids. And so I walked away from the symphony, which is really hard and scary. And I'd started making albums right after I got married. I released my first album. So during the time in the symphony, I'd released a couple albums, but I hadn't really pursued a big solo career because I was in the symphony and I had 1, 2, 3, and 4 kids. But as soon as I left the symphony, as I was leaving the symphony, I didn't have any solo concerts, but the day after I resigned from the symphony, conductors started calling and I started performing quite a bit. And not being in the symphony, I also had more time to help my kids develop their musical talents. And over the years, they started performing with me. And so I started, they were really good. So I started performing with them. And as like a ton, started putting them on concerts. And eventually they were on all my concerts and I was performing with them. And now, that's kind of where we are today. Like, although they're older. And so my oldest daughter's married and she still performs with us because, she makes time, which is wonderful. I pay her. I pay my children to perform with me. And then Hannah, so that's Lara, she plays violin. Hannah is a pianist. She's going to the Royal Academy of Music, studying piano in London. She's in her third year now of college. Sarah starts the Royal Conservatory of Scotland on Friday, actually, she leaves. So she'll be in Scotland, but she'll come back for the tour. Again, missing those 3 weeks of school, which they're thrilled about. And then Matthew is a junior in high school. He plays classical guitar, and he's willing to play with us because he lives in my house, and that's kind of part of it. So anyway, so we performed.
And he's quite good. He is no slouch. Yeah.
Very good. So we performed together as Jenny Oakes Baker and Family Four. And my wonderful husband, he supports it all. He has his own job, which pays for it all, and he's supportive. So that's a little bit of who I am, and I'm grateful to be able to perform and grateful that Heavenly Father has entrusted me with this beautiful show and has provided miracles and direction on how to bring it to the world.
Amen, amen, and amen. And I just feel so, first of all, I feel so fortunate to have known all that before you said it, because we've known each other for a long time. And to know that, to back up to your previous thought on why you do what you do, that it's, I know you love your education, and I know you love the schools you went to, and I know you love the halls you have played in around the world. And I know you love the show, and I know you love the book, and I know you love it all, but you love God so much more than any of that, that it pales in significance. It's silly to even compare the two. And so I know, I do know why you do what you do. And it's for much more than VIP receptions, right? Even though we do hope you come to the VIP reception.
VIP reception is honestly to help pay for the tour, because the tour is really, really, really expensive. And I just follow the Spirit, and the Spirit is wonderful and never leads you astray, but you can still lose money and follow the Spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
It's happened before, and because life lessons again, and I'm just trying not to lose the house life lesson. So that's the VIP reception, but I trust God, and I know I felt led to come to each of these cities, and we're supposed to come, and there's people we're supposed to touch, and it's going to be an amazing show. And I'm grateful for those life lessons. And I'm grateful again that God blesses me and he trusts me to do it. So that's why we're here.
That's why we're here. And we're here to also talk about this book, which is now, you know, the reverse story. I called you after the show last year and said, you know, what if we packaged the narration with your music and some new arrangements, maybe? And what if we produced something that might be a lovely gift for people who attend the show, but might also be something that people that will never have an opportunity to be near a venue or travel or whatever can see it. And so that this is where we end up with The Witnesses of Christmas, a musical journey through the nativity of Jesus the Christ. It's the narration, an edited version of the narration from David, the shepherd that I play in the show. That's part one of the book with the sheet music, which you can talk about in a minute, kind of how that came to be. And then part two of the book, we sort of dive into some attributes of the Savior and some scriptures that illustrate those attributes, and then some real world examples on how we can maybe become more like him by adopting those attributes, by learning from his life, and applying those lessons. So talk to us a little bit about, first of all, the arrangements are brand new, aren't they? Weren't these commissioned for the book?
Well, some of them were. So this idea for the book, of course, as you said, was entirely your idea. I think it's the greatest idea. Of course, I have CDs, but very few people have CD players. And so this is a way of sharing my music without having to have a CD player. So there's QR codes, which is amazing, mm-hmm. that just open up the music. And so you're getting these recordings from the Christmas show and I'm able to listen to them. And Jason had this great idea with the book that we could make it very interactive for people. And so they could gather their families and sit around, you know, the living room, or sit around the Christmas tree, or sit around the fireplace or whatever, and or just by themselves and have this experience of the show where they read the script and then they can either, there's three options. So everyone's happy. You can either just listen to the recording of the music from your phone or your computer, or whatever, with the QR code, just the audio recording. You can, or if you want to be more interactive, there's sheet music. If you play the piano, you can play the piano and everyone can sing, or you can sing, you know, if you're by yourself, you can just sing and play. Or there's accompaniment versions. These are the new arrangements where they're basically just the accompaniment and you can just sing along to, if it's Silent Night, you know, Silent Night, you can just sing along. If you're not familiar with one of the songs, Do You Hear What I Hear, for instance, maybe you don't know those words or that melody, you can read the sheet music. So you don't even need the piano, but you can just read the words and just, you know, you'll hear the melody in the accompaniment. Or for the songs where we have music videos, you also want, if you just want to sit there and watch a video, most of the songs have a music video for you to watch. And those are all accessed by a QR code. So it's very interactive and just a great way to experience the show. Or just, I mean, if even you don't even need to think about the show, it's a great way to experience and bring yourself closer to Jesus Christ. And then the second part that you referenced was entirely your idea that's not in the show, but it's kind of the because we're witnessing of Christmas of Christ, how does that apply to our lives? And you have beautiful thoughts on that, and it's really beautiful what you've written. And then there's like an extra little bonus video at the end. So,
and if you wonder, Jenny keeps saying this was, you know, my idea and that I did more work on it. They don't know how much time you spent deeply invested in selection of the artwork. And when the designer of the book would send back options, you'd go, no, not quite. No, not quite. No, no, better, but no. This one on all spring.
I've been doing that on the website as well. That's what probably is ready to like throw me off a cliff.
No, the it paid off because it's the Shadow Mountain and the team that produced this book, published it, just did a lovely job. And it looks terrific. The art is terrific. The arrangements are wonderful. And I remember, it's kind of funny now thinking back on it, that when we first had the idea, I thought, and I said to you, well, couldn't we just take the sheet music? This is how much I know about music, that you're using in the show, and just put it in this book that people can, and you're like trying to be so kind. Jason, I don't think you understand.
I'm never that kind. I'm very direct. I'm sure it was like, no, that won't work at all. What are you thinking? The arrangements. So Kurt Bester, he like takes you on a musical journey with the melody, and like it explodes in a climactic way, and then it resolves and it's beautiful. And if you just tried to sing your regular Christmas carol that you know and love, you wouldn't be able to necessarily sing. Like you can hear it and you know it, and it's Silent Night, but you're not going to be able to just sing along without having.
Or sit at the piano with that, right? Yeah. Like,
so he wrote entirely new accompaniment arrangements. Someday I think we'll want to put these in the show where it's like, they're beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like these arrangements are gorgeous. And like, they're not just a, you know, take a hymn book and chunk out the, all the different four parts on the choir. Like these are beautiful accompaniment arrangements that everyone's going to want to hear.
Yeah, and of course, some listening know who Kurt Bester is and know that he has had his own Christmas show for many years. And if you can only see one Christmas show this Christmas, you should see the Jenny Oaks Baker Christmas show. If you can see two, then go see his. I do hope that people will consider introducing this book the way that people have been so supportive of Christmas Jars through the years. As a part of perhaps of your family tradition at Christmas. If you gather your kids around and you put on the bathrobe and you do the nativity or whatever you do with your family and you read Luke 2 or whatever, that's beautiful. And we certainly don't want to interfere with people's longstanding family traditions that are so special and sacred. But if you're interested in doing something a little bit different, and the book is laid out again, so you can have someone be the narrator and read the narration and sort of experience the whole thing as if you were in a beautiful hall somewhere with Jenny and her family and me. You can do that right in your living room. So we do hope people will experience it. You'll be able to pick up the book at least some of the venues, right? You'll be able to buy it there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'll take it to the Utah and Idaho and Las Vegas venues just because it's so heavy.
Yeah, big, beautiful books.
Places and not charge $50.
Yeah, no,
wouldn't be appreciated by people. So it'll be at the venues that I can drive to, but probably not the California or Texas. But we're gonna do something special that we're figuring out where people can come with the book.
Yes, come with the book and still get a signature. So the book is available on Amazon and Deseret Book and Walmart and Target and any place that you buy books online, you can find it. And most places that you buy books traditionally through retailers, you can find it in brick and mortar as well. All right, Jenny, what's next? What is next for you?
Let me just mention one other thing about the book and the show. Alex Sharp, who formerly is in the show. She's phenomenal, and she's in quite a few of the recordings in the book. So, and a couple of the videos. So, you won't want to miss her as well. Yes. Which is just even better, just an even more beautiful book. So next up for me is I have this production called The Redeemer that's for Easter, and it's truly one of the most beautiful things I've ever been a part of. And I'm bringing it to like 6 or 8 cities this spring for Easter. If you come on my website to get show tickets for the Christmas show, which is jennyoaksbaker.com, you'll also see a few Redeemer shows. And if you're in the area, I highly suggest you incorporate that into your Easter celebrations, because it is all about the Savior, and it's really powerful. And then Jason wrote another incredible script that the first time I read the script, I actually was like ugly crying because it was so beautiful, which is not usually what you do when you read a script on America. I love America and America's inspiring, but it doesn't usually engender such powerful spiritual feelings as a script. It's really beautiful. It's called American Mosaic, and it's all about bringing the different people that of this great nation, like going through and just appreciating each other and how we can come together as one nation under God and rejoice in our differences and you know, be excited about our strengths and just have more unity and more gratitude to God for this incredible land. And it's got folk dancers and ballroom dancers, and Conlon Bonner is the narrator. He's phenomenal. It's just such a great show. So I'm hoping to be able to, as soon as I climb my way out of the 20 city Christmas tour and pull it all off, I'm going to really start booking halls this summer for, or not halls, like outdoor amphitheaters is my goal for this really great summer show that Jason wrote this beautiful script for. So that's that between Redeemer and then American Mosaic and then next season's Christmas show, I'll have enough to do next year as well. So
not yeah, gonna run yeah. Out. You'll be busy. And let me say I would love to see that has been a strange experience for me as a writer to generate the script for you and to not be able to see it on stage and to just, I mean, I've seen pictures and of course you were telling me how rehearsals and things went, but so I can't wait to actually see how that played out. I'm sure it's fantastic. And I will say specifically about Redeemer that I have a friend who has been going through kind of a hard time, and I'm obviously not going to say her name, but she's had a little bit of a rough year, but she saw your Redeemer show and she said it was one of the most profoundly spiritual experiences that she had had in reconnecting her to God in a pretty impactful way. So I don't know if I ever shared that with you before, but
my Redeemer show, it is the Redeemer show. And I've seen that it's not my show, but the Lord honestly gave me Christmas show to teach me how to rent venues to be able to bring Redeemer to the world as well. And that show is special. And so is Christmas show. But the Redeemer is all about Jesus Christ. Like every single thing is about his life and his mission. And I honestly, every time I think about it, I'm grateful that I could be a part of it and Christmas show as well. So I'm just grateful to be a part of preparing, helping, trying my best to help prepare the world for the second coming. And that's what I'm supposed to do with my music. So I'm grateful to be able to do that with wonderful people like you. So thank you, Jason.
Oh, it's the honor of my career to do it. And it's just such a pleasure to work with you and your terrific family and getting to know them. And I'm so glad you mentioned Alex. If you've ever met Alex, then you just know that she has this sparkle and light in her eyes. That's just particularly when she takes the stage and the lights come up, just her love of her craft and music and you and your family and the Lord, all of it is just so evident in everything Alex says. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. And again, you will find in the show notes all the information about not just the Christmas show, but where Jenny will be with Redeemer next year. I do happen to know, my Virginia friends, that Redeemer is coming to DC, to the DC area next spring. Is that not true?
It is Strathmore Hall on March 28th and then Lincoln Center March 30th. We're also doing Nashville March 9th, Tuacon March 23rd, Saturday. I think it's Saturday, March 23rd. And I'm trying to do Mesa. I'm trying to get a venue there right now, but we're coming to Mesa because I've got choir and orchestra all ready to go. And also Abravanel Hall in Salt Lake on March 18th. So those are so far the
love it.
The venues for Redeemer.
So, love it. So again, that when you hit Jenny's website, you'll see not just the Christmas ticketing information, but also at least the dates that are locked in for Redeemer for next year. Jenny, you're the best. Thank you for taking some time for this discussion for our premiere episode of the Book Drop Mic. Fun to talk about a book that drops today. Actually, this book is officially available everywhere today. So we're excited about that. And tell your family that I said hello. I love them. I cannot wait to have adventures with them on the road over the holidays. And in case we didn't mention it, we do hope that you'll come to the VIP reception.
And the show. Both. Yeah. Either one. Just pick one. Just come.
Just come. Come and see, right? Come and see. All right. Thank you, Miss Jenny.
So good. Thanks, Jason. So fun.